Today's daf is daf Mem Gimel. We're holding the Halakha Mishnah. I'm running up on the top. Second Bava Metzia, learning a third parak Hamafkid. Hamafkid Maot Itzar Shulchani. And we know that the equivalent at the time of the Mishnah of our banker was a literal banker. It was a Shulchani. And the guy would spread out his counter on a bench, as we saw earlier. And there were two ways of making a deposit with a shulchani, just as there's two ways of making a deposit with a bank. You can either deposit it in a safe deposit box, in which case whatever it is you put in there is not meant to be touched by the bank, or you can put in cash, in which case we understand that your cash is going to be used by the bank. You're not going to get back the same cash that you gave to the banker. So here, the Nahug defined the nature of the deposit. So, Hamafkid Maot Etzar Shulchani. If you're depositing money with the bankers, so then Intzurim, if they're tied up, Lo Yishtamesh Bem, he does not have a right to use them, and they're viewed as a deposit of type, rather than a deposit of cash. So, it's none of his business what's in there. It's the object. Lefichach Im Avdu, and therefore, because he's acting here as a Shomer Chinam for you on that, so just a service, and he's not going to get any hanot from it, because that is not chayev on geneva v'aveda, just like any shomer sarchinan. But on the other hand, if they're mutarim, if you gave them cash, that it's understood that yishtamesh bem, he has a right to use that cash, and therefore im avdu chayav b'achrayutan, if they're lost, then he would have to pay. Now, this is a little bit iffy, because, I mean, if he's going to be using them, then he should have a din of a shoel. I mean, it certainly would mean avdu, and then even if nensu. So that the Gemara is going to discuss. Now, how about if you do the same thing with an individual? You give cash to an individual. So, it's a ba'alabayit, bein serin, bein mutarin, lo yishtamesh bem. If it's with an individual, private individual who's not a banker, he's not supposed to be using the money that you gave him. When you give him money, it's not like a loan. He's allowed to use that money. He's supposed to put it aside. If he's a shomer chinam, and it was geneva v'aveda as is potter for shomer chinam, so he wouldn't be chayav b'achrayut. Now, what about a chenveni? How about if you lend, you ask a guy with a cash register to take care of your money? So there we have a machloket. According to Rabbi Meir, a chenveni is kibala bayit. It's not necessarily understood. And the Rishonim explained that in those days, most shopkeepers, most transactions were credit transactions. In other words, a local shopkeeper would keep a credit record, but it wasn't that he was constantly giving change. If he was constantly giving change, so then in economy, you would assume that if you're giving him cash, he needs that cash, he's going to put it in his register, and he'll use the cash. But since cash transactions were rare, so it wasn't assumed necessarily that he's going to need the cash, and therefore he's like anybody else. So this is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yudomer, since he does require cash at times, and he's in business, so then if you give it to him, it's like giving it to a bank. So this is what I don't understand. Why is the fact that this cash is tied up in a bag? So because of that, lo yishtamesh bem. I mean, you give it to a banker, you don't tell him that he's not supposed to be using it. I mean, is it the norm that, I mean, that you give it to him if it's cash? I mean, so what's a plastic bag? I mean, so what, it has to necessarily be out of the bag. What does that mean? Om Ravira doesn't mean if it's tied up in a plastic bag. It means if it's tzurim v'chatubim shana. It means it's in an envelope and it's sealed. So then it's clear that the seal was put there as an indication. Don't open. Rav Mori Omar, it's talking about where it wasn't a plastic bag tied, but it wasn't tied normally. It was tied with a kesher mishuneh, and that would be a simon that he didn't want to untie. It's like a personal kind of knot. Others say that he didn't say that positively. Actually, boy, Rav Mori, he asked whether kesher mishuneh would have a din of a chatima in terms of indicating this is not meant to be open. As general, I mean, people do get into the habit of using the particular idiosyncratic kesher that they make to make certain that people haven't opened their things and so on. But I mean, he might have just put it on stam, you know, because he's used to tying it that way. So, I mean, he gave him a plastic bag, maybe he can't use it. That he asked, and that he left for the take-home. There was no real clear-cut decision about that. So the Mishnah said that if it was just cash and he gives it to a banker, then he clearly, the banker has the right to use it. Because of that, he should be chayav b'achrayutan. Now, the question is, what is meant with those words, chayav b'achrayutan? Because we could understand chayav b'achrayutan to mean even ba'onasim. Of course, then we'll have to explain why does the Mishnah say avdu. Or we could take it to mean that it's your shomer sachar, which would be a little strange. Because if you're looking at him as someone who can use the money, then he's a shoel. He's not a shomer sachar. But how do you get the middle stage? He's a shomer sachar. So first, let's see, it's a machloket, what actually it means when it says chayav b'achrayutan. So Rav Puna says, when it says that, it means afilu nensu. Even if an act of God took the money, it's still chayiv, because he's a shoyel, basically. The Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah says, avdu katani. No, that means avdu in the sense that Rabba explained in other cases. Omar Rabba, when you talk about nignavu, that we apparently are being mechayiv over here as ones, it doesn't mean nignavu the way it would mean nignavu for shomer chinam. Nignavu would mean a guy comes in and holds you up with an uzi. So that's clearly, it's listed in a zuyan, it's clearly an ones. So he uses the word nignavu, but ones nignavu, or avdu, is also talking about not the avdu of a shomer chinam. Avdu means lost, meaning lost in a sunken ship or something. Shitavos v'natobayam, he used to use that word, the money was lost. That doesn't mean wandered away. So in hachinami, he is chayev because he is a shoel. Reb Nachman Omar, no. Nensu, no. Why did he chayev for Nensu? Omale, Rebel, Reb Nachman, can you explain to me the logic of your position? I mean, l'didav damet Nensu lo. So what are you saying? You're saying that, no, he's certainly not a shoel. So in other words, okay, so then what is he? Amar lo havi shoel alayu. Obviously, if as Rishonim speak out, if he actually had used the money, of course he's a shoel. But what you're claiming is that the mere deposit of the money makes him a shoel because he has the right to use the money. I mean, who's to say that if he doesn't intend to use the money, that he wants to be makabel on himself, the dinim of a shoel? So if that's the case, if he's not makabel, the dinim of a shomer, he's just doing you a favor to be watching it. So then how? Yeah. They hadn't yet reached a level of depravity.
That's the nation of the game.
I mean, we're watching the evolution of banking here. Not the, so at that point, he's a shomer chinam. You know, he could be a shomer chinam as a. I mean, they do get you in with offers. This is your free offer to get you in. Then they start charging. There's always exactly, you know. Open up an account with us, we'll give you a free computer. So, indeed, you're saying he's not a shoel, but then if he's not a shoel, how did he become a shomer socher? I mean, the only value that he gets out of it is the fact that he has the money. I mean, if you're telling me he's not a shoel, then he's not a shomer socher either. I don't understand the compromise. See, shoel lo havi, shomer socher nami lo havi. Omale, not true. Because even if I hold that he's a shoel, only if he actually makes use of the money, do you not think that having a liquid account is worth some money? Somebody says to you, I'm gonna give you the ability to write a check out for $10,000 if a deal comes through. You didn't take the $10,000 yet. That's not worth something to you. So over here, the banker has money. You'll say, but he didn't intend to invest this money. But somebody comes by, you got to invest this money. So that is certainly worth money. That at least makes him a shomer socher. The question is, he didn't use the money. How can fine? When he uses it, it'll also be a shomer. But meanwhile, he would be chayev at least on Ganeva Vaveda. If he makes use of it, he'd be chayev even on a loss, which is an act of God. But it's not the same as a typical shoel where the whole basis of the relationship is the use of the money. There is a machlokas Rishonim as to whether you could be toveya back the money in the same if he hadn't used it. Does this imply that since I'm tiny, he's not a shoel, that he is not a borrower either? Because if he's a borrower, then he's a shoel, basically. But if the difference is a borrower, once he's a borrower, you can't change your mind and say, I want that cash back. Yeah. In other words, I don't know if we have to give you that particular cash. I would look for that cash or anything like that. Okay, so here he says, since he's being nene, he's being mahane. What's the hana'ah? Since he has the pleasure of knowing that if he gets an opportunity to make a good deal that he's going to profit from, Zoban Bu is going to use this money to buy into that deal. So because of that, he's being mahane you too, which means, in other words, that's basically the underlying understanding of the relationship between the mafkid and the nifkad in the case of Shomer Sachar. Eitver of Nachman Rufun. המפקיד מאות אצל שולחני, אם צרורים לא ישתמש בהם, לפיכך אם הוציא לו מעל גזבר. Now here we have a halacha that is similar to our mission, and therefore it could be that it has some kind of insight for our mission. Now take a look at this din, legabe the din of Me'ila. Now the din of Me'ila is that if money was taken out of the Rishus of Hegdesh, so at that point you become chayv of Me'ila. In a case where it's a gizbar, and the gizbar, as long as it remains in the gizbar's Rishut, so then there was no yitziyah from Hegdesh. Now, in this case, the gizbar goes ahead and gives money to a banker. Therefore, im tzurin lo yishtamesh behem. So, Same case as our Mishnah. Gives it to him in a sealed envelope. He's not supposed to use it. If, therefore, he goes ahead and does use it, it's in violation of the contract, and it's not the problem of the gizbar, it's the problem of the banker, because he wasn't supposed to take it. So even though he didn't know his hekdesh, but that's classic. I mean, that's me'ila. But the gizbar is not responsible in this case, because he's not acting as his agent, even though we know that when it comes to me'ila, yesh shliach l'dvar avera, we have from a special pasuk. But in this case, he wasn't his shliach. But if the money was just given to him in cash, the banker has a right to be ishtamesh behem, and therefore lefichach imotzim ala gizbar. Therefore, the gizbar was the one who was mo'el. Now listen here. You said that the moment that you give that money to him, my dear Ravuna, you said that he's a shovel, which means that you lent him the money, which means that it went into his rishus, not your rishus. Okay, so then why does it say hotzi if he used the money, even if he didn't use the money? If you take money and give it to somebody else as a gizbar, it's money of hegdish. You take it out of the rishus of hegdish, give it to somebody else's rishus. That's me'ila. It doesn't make any nafkamina whether that person does use it, doesn't use it. Bishleim, according to the way I'm learning, it makes perfectly good sense. I say, the moment he uses it, at that point it becomes a shura. But until he uses it, he's still in your rishus. So then the gizbar was never mavir the kesev of Agdish into another rishus. So therefore, it'd be no me'ila. But according to you, i'amet afilu nensu, that the meaning in our mission of the equivalent case is that even if this money goes down at a ship, and you'd still be chayiv, so then why does it say hotzi? Why does it say the moment that the gizbar uses the money, the use of the money is irrelevant? Afilo lo hotzi nami. Oh, my leg. Well, you know what? Hotzi has been used very loosely here. I mean, who didn't have a gavda lo hotzi? The truth is that it's the actual giving over the cash into the hands of the shulchani, which, according to me, created the me'ila for the gizbar. The only reason it uses the word hotzi is just to keep the parallelism in the Mishnah. I mean, the Tana in the Reish of the Mishnah said hotzi. Im tzurin lo yishtamesh, lefichach imotzi. Over there, obviously, it's only imotzi because it was in a sealed envelope. So only imotzi would be chayiv. Hashem came over here. The truth is, even if he was imotzi, be chayiv, but he used the same language. Lefichach imotzi, the gizbar was ma. So now, continuing our analysis of the relationship of Shlichut Yad to She'ela, you can see how all of these Mishnayos are now involved in this issue, to She'ela Shalomid Da'at, to the din of Gizela, we want to know what indeed would be the din of Tashlumim in cases of Shlichut Yad. Because we know when it comes to a Gizela, the halacha is that Kol HaGazalim Mishamim Kisha'at HaGizela. So whatever it was that they stole, its value at that time is what defines the payment that needs to be made. Unless, of course, the chayfetz is still here. The chayfetz is still extant, so then you give back the chayfetz. If you did something to the chayfetz now that prevents you giving it, then that's viewed as a new act of gezeila. So then that would be the shata gezeila. Okay, so now let's take that idea into shlichut yad. The guy gives you a pikadon. You were sholeach yad on the pikadon. What now is the halacha of your paying back? So Beit Shammai omrim yilakeh becheser uviyeter. Basically, if you, the moment that you were shaleach bayad, you're considered to be a gazlan. You have no right to be shaleach bayad. And whatever now happens, now at this point the Gemara thinks, we're going to go through a little bit of agony until we figure out that that can't be what the Mishnah means. But at this point the Gemara thinks that the Mishnah here is referring to cheser v'yeter in terms of value, market value. So the price has been fluctuating on this thing. Well, says Beit Shammai, you know, basically, if anything happens to this, you're the one that's going to suffer, the one who was shaleir boyad. So let's say it now has gone down in value, you pay the higher value. This is any shomer. It's talking about shlichus yad. A spechester v'yeter means that basically it depends on what the situation is. Obviously, the thing is not here now. If it were here, we would simply return it. So the question there is, it depends now what has happened to market fluctuations. This is what the Gemara believes at this time. We'll see that there may be other alternative explanations, and indeed this doesn't hold up very well. But assuming that we're talking about market fluctuations, then what it means is that if it's gone down in price from the time that you were shaleach b'yad, so then you pay, like gazlanim do, mishami kishat ha'gzela, which is the point that you were shaleach yad to take it. However, the second point at which you now removed it from the world, which is why it isn't here now, so you sold it or ate it or whatever the case may be, if it was worth more at that point, then you would pay according to that point and not according to shas ha'gzela. So in other words, no matter what direction it's gone up or it's gone down, you're going to end up at those two points deciding which one is more, and that's what you're going to pay.
Beit Hillel Omrim? No. You can pay according to shat how it's sa'ah. It's like any other Gaza. No, we'll see what that means. So now, if the price has gone up, now you're going to have to pay the higher price. But Hillel says you always break a shatot. So it sounds like he's saying, whatever, no. So in other words, again, the Gemara is going to discuss what exactly the case was. But obviously, if the Chayfetz was here, you would just say Arei Shokal Lefanecha. So Keshata Otzah sounds like at the point that the Chayfetz was removed from the world by your drinking it up or selling it, whatever the case is. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Keshata Tfiyah, it's really strange. You pay according to what it was worth at the time of the suit. All right, so the two shittas of Beit Hillel and Rabbi Akiva, not very clear. Let's take a look at how the Gemara develops our understanding of the Machlokes. So I'm a rab. Haiman de goza chavita de chamra. A guy now has stolen a barrel of wine and he takes it mechavri. At the time that he stole it, meikar shavia zuza. Now it's worth 4 zuz. At the time that he's tavra or shatya, the wine is no longer extant. So he drinks it or he breaks it. So at that point that he broke it, he has to now pay the value that it was worth when it had gone up, the time that he broke it. So he's mishalim arba'ah. But if it broke through an accident, then he would be mishalim zuza because it's kishata gizela. Now, why do I say if you drank it later or broke it, you would be chayev as the value it was at that time? Now it's worth 4 times as much. My time. Because kibati yita adra lamara ba'ina. Since if it were extant, it would have been returned in what that state was at the time, irregardless of its value. It's the item that needs to be returned. So that would mean that it's still considered to belong to the nigzal. And therefore, ahishata dekashati leo dekatavar le, that is viewed as the moment of the gezela. It's the moment that you made it impossible to return it to him by drinking it. So that you've removed it from his reshut entirely. That's viewed as an act of gezela. And that follows the standard rule in the Mishnah. Utznan kol hagazlanim mishalmim. But if it broke all on its own, so then you pay according to the original value. Why? My time, at this point, you didn't do anything to it. There's no further act of gezela that can be related to you in which we could say, okay, well now you're going to be responsible for that. The most I could be is chayev for the original gezela, but the original gezela was a zuz, and I never did an additional gezela. So then, amayko mechayavta, like, because in that case, why are you holding him responsible to pay on the initial act of the gezela? Ayishata the gezela. But the thing is that in this case, ayishata, it was only with a zuzu the shavi. Okay, so that being the idea, and we're going to have to look into this Mishnah, because the Mishnah sure doesn't sound like our Mishnah seems to be talking about exactly that issue. And where exactly does Rabba, or the Rivkir says Rava, which fits into the Gemara later, how does he fit into the Mishnah over here? The Mishnah says, it's not. Beit Hillel Omrim Kishata Hotza'ah. Now, I mean, that seems to be the closest to what Rava was saying, right? It's the time at which you were motzi. And remember that we believed at this point that the Mishnah was indeed talking about market fluctuations, not changes in the actual item. So the Yeter and the Cheser, let's see, that's in the value. What it really means is, Yeter means yukra, and cheser means zula. That's what we're saying. Later we're going to be medayek, but that's the wrong language to use, because that's not what cheser yeter means. But, okay, so, but thinking that that's the case, let's analyze what Beit Hillel is saying. When you say kishat hotza'ah, I mean, do you mean what Rava means? I mean, let me kishat hotza'ah min ha'olam, at the time that you drank it. Say the bottle of the barrel of wine. So now, which case? Cheser or Yeter? B'mai. I mean, if you're telling me Cheser, so I mean, there's somebody who holds that if it was worth less, now let's say originally it was worth 4 zuz, and now it's worth 1 zuz, and you drink it, you're only going to pay the 1 zuz. Nobody holds that. I mean, that would be in violation of the klal. Kol ha'gazanim mishalmim kishata gezeila. We're suddenly going to say because you stole it again, therefore you get off the hook. So, in other words, that original chiyev is certainly going to be mechay of you, the 4. The chiddush of Rava was that if you did an additional ma'aser gezeila, that can be mechay of you in addition to the original chiyev. It's certainly not going to take off the original chiyev. So, okay, so now what are you going to say hotza'ah means? That if it's talking about yeter, so then, in other words, yeter would be, that's what Rava says. So then, heiner Beit Shammai, but Beit Shammai already said that. Beit Shammai said, you're going to be loka in the cheser v'yeter. So then, what is Beit Hillel saying? Clearly, that's not what he's saying. So he's got to be talking about ela pshita kishat hotza'ah mi beit ha'ba'alim. That must be what he means, saying, at the time that it was taken out, not the way we use the word taken out in English, I took him out. Meaning, you know, so over here it would mean breaking the barrel of wine. Taking out means taking out of the house, which would mean basically kishata gezela. So that would mean that when it comes to the yeter, Beit Hillel would be arguing. Because Beit Shammai was saying, I don't care what the situation is, if it went up in value, then you're going to be loko, and you're going to pay at the higher price. So that it was Beit Shammai then who was saying like Rava. Beit Shammai is saying you'll pay at the higher price if that was what it was worth when you took it out. Beis Hillel is saying it always goes according to the moment you took it out physically from the house of the Baalim. And if that was a lowering price, so then you're going to pay that. That's what Beit Hillel is saying. So then, what are you telling me now? That Rava is going to leave it to Beit Shammai? I mean, now it turns out that that's good for what Beit Hillel is arguing about. So lema Rava d'amar ke Beit Shammai. Amalek Rava, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You don't understand the mission. B'yetekuli Amalek plagi. Look, I said, as a statement, Kuli Alma, Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai, everybody agrees that if we're talking about a case where it's worth more, which was what I'm talking about, definitely you're going to pay the higher value. The question is over here, ki plige b'chos, talking about over here, that it's gone down. That's the point. So Beit Hillel is saying over here, at that time, you pay. It's worth less. Pay the less. So you said, what? That's crazy. Nobody owes you pay less. The Pharisee Commission says, kol ha-gazalim mishalmim kishata gazela. That's your problem, right? So let me explain to you why that's not a problem. If it were a gazela, a real gazela, you'd be right. But isn't the whole point of the mission to discuss the relationship of shlichus yad to gazela? Now, there's a big difference between a gazela which came into your hands, v'isser, and therefore it's defined at that moment, and a shlichut yad, where it was given into your rishus initially, the heter. He asked you, and it was accepted. There was a relationship that I have a right to have this. I mean, a right, I'm doing him a favor having this in my rishus. Okay? So in that case, where it's batera, you're only coming to be mechayevim because of the shlichut yad. Aha, now, that makes the case far more interesting. I'm saying that the machloket Beit Shammai Beit Hillel is about the relationship of shlichut yad to gezeilah. So now you took it. Okay, you took it. So Beit Shammai holds, Beit Shammai savra, shlichut yad ina tzricha chisaron. Look, the moment you took it, what do you mean you took it? Well, you picked it up. So you picked it up. I mean, it was always in your rishus. Ah, but you picked it up because you were going to use it. You didn't use it, but you intend to keep it. But at that moment, says Beit Shammai, that's Shlichus Yad. Shlichus Yad now abrogates the relationship between you. At this point, we say, what's doing in his rishus? He's a Goslin. Okay, so then, fine. It's like any other Goslin, right? You'll ask, if that's the case, then why, if it was worth less, doesn't it take a shot like a Gezela, if you don't, it's like a Gezela? So some say that would be because of a Knat. We don't let you off to be Chayav less. Okay, perhaps. Beis Hillel holds, what'd you do? I didn't say, what'd you do? You're calling that a shlichus yad? That's not what a shlichus yad means. Shlichus yad means you made use of the thing in a way that actually affected it. You don't make any use of it. You picked it up. I mean, but that's not called shlichus yad. If you were a Goslin, it would. You'd say, what's that doing in your rishus? But in this case, there has not yet been an abrogation of the relationship. What do you mean, what's it doing in his rishus? That's where it's meant to be. The guy put it in his rishus. So therefore, the shlichus yad has not affected anything yet the way this case is set up. And Beis Hillel holds that, therefore, when the price goes down, v'chi chaser, it's still in the rishus of the morei. So rishus in the morei chaser. Therefore, don't ask me, what did I say? I said if a guy stole something, and then he takes it out of the world, that is certainly, that's considered to be an additional act of gezeila. And you're telling me, oh, but that violates the Mishnah. And the Mishnah wasn't talking about stealing something. The Mishnah was talking about shlichus yad. So the machlokus over here indeed is whether you're mishale kisha'at ha-gezeila. That's the question. Is this kisha'at ha-gezeila? So according to Beit Hillel, what kisha'at ha-gezeila? Since over here it remained in the rishus of the more, so it was chaser, went down in price. At that rishus, at that point it was still in his rishus. And therefore, since he could have said Areshel Chalafanecha, according to Beit Hillel, whatever price it would have been, at the time that he actually took it out, so then that's what he pays, the lower price. Well, but Elahad Yom Rava Shlichus Yad Eina Tzicha Chisaron Lema Rava Damar Kebeit Shammai. Again, here it makes more sense to have riffs, girsa, in the Gemara, that all along we've talked about Rava. So if Rava himself has now defined the machloket of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel in this fashion, and when Rava now comes, we had that whole discussion before, he was the one who was mefarish the Gemara and said, Shlichus Yad Eina Tzricha Chisaron. But now he's saying that's Beit Shammai's far. So now you're telling me that all along Rava has been going, I'll leave it to Beit Shammai? So leave me Rava, the Amar to Beit Shammai? You're right. Okay, so cancel that. Okay. But of course, meanwhile, we've again differentiated between the nature of Gezela, the nature of Shlichus Yad, And again, we know where we're going. This is only one alternative. The alternative is Shalom Shalomidas. These were always the three possible ways in which you could get into a relationship that would be Mechayev you money, either through taking something Shalom Rishos, or having something for Rishos and then misusing it, which again, that's about locus, or using it in a way that maybe the owner wouldn't care about or would care about, in which case you could be a Shoel and with a Das, or you could be a Shoel Shalomi Das. So now, a Shoel would be Chayev for Onasim, but a Shoel Kolosso Shalomi Das might be a Gazlan. So now the question is, the Mishnah over here, it's talking about not that you moved it to take it. You moved it to use it as a ladder. You're going to stand on the barrel, which is no problem for the barrel, and you're going to reach up in order to get down some pigeons on the top of your pigeon house. So in that case, they're arguing about Shoel Shalomidat, as we saw before. Beit Shammai Savri Shoel Shalomidat Gazlan Havi. And this is the way Rav understands it now. So Beit Shammai holds it as lanave, and therefore, if it's gone down in value, it's gone down in value for you, not for the owner, because you say, yeah, but all I did was stand on it. Yeah, well, okay, but now you're going to be chayven on a seat. So if anything happens to it afterwards, you're going to pay whatever it was at that time, not at the, now it's worth less. Beis Hillel Sovereign, Shoel Midat, Shalom Midat is only a Shoel. And remaining a Shoel, as far as changes in the value is, v'chi chasa b'rishus d'amari chasa. And therefore, we now have a third alternative. Wait, but even that alternative doesn't work out. Nope. Because there's an interesting machlokas between the Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda. In a case where a guy sends a kid to a store with a container and wants to buy a liter of oil. The standard was you brought your container, like they still do today with meth. You bring your container, he fills it up with meth. So it says over there, it's about Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbana. If the kid comes back home and on the way breaks the container, whether the chenveni is chayev. How in the world does the chenveni be chayev? Oh, Rav explains what's going on over there is someone else walked into the store at the same time. He used this kid's kli to measure a liter of oil for somebody else. Shalom Bershus, the father. So now he becomes a shal shalom bidat. So now when he gives it back to the kid, that wasn't a proper hashava because a kid isn't a proper shomer. So therefore, they're getting into the question of whether a shal shalom bidat is a gazlan. So he's chayev. If it breaks, he never returned it. The owner, brilliant analysis. The problem is that Rava explains that according to the Rabbanan, which is the Das of the Rabbim, that he's considered to be a Gazlan. But over here he's saying that it's Beit Shammai who holds that Shoel Shalomi Das is a Gazlan. So how do you square those two approaches of Rava? So unfortunately we got too much information on Rava. He can't get anything past us over here. No matter what he says, we know that it doesn't jive with Rava somewhere else. So Elohad Yom Rava Shoel Shalomi Das Rabbanan Gazlan Avi. You're trying to say that now Rava was explaining the Mishnah Das Rabbim was Aliba to Beit Shammai. All right, forget it. Scotch the whole thing. We have completely the wrong shot in the Mishnah. Okay. We thought that we were talking about differences of Yukra Vizula. So then, you're right, we ended up without a way to make this work. But actually, what we might be talking about is not Yukra Vizula at all. I mean, the truth is the Lushan of the Shevach and Yeter and Cheser sounds more like the Shevach of the Gezela. That's the issue over here. Now, so Acha, the Shevach shall Gezela come if, okay? Cheser v'yeter is not a reference to Yukra v'zula. It's rather, now there's two very, very different approaches. Their only approach is semantic approach. They're not nafkaminas ma'alocha. But the question over here is, Rashi understands that cheser v'yeter are both referring to shevach of the gizela. Except that cheser means things that you take off, like the fleece. So you took it off of the animal. And yeter would mean things that the animal now, let's say it's pregnant, now it's worth more. So there's more of it instead of less of it. But I mean, in either case, we're talking about sheva. It's strange kind of way of talking about, you know, cheser v'yeter. So others learn that cheser means, you know, what it always means. Hakchasha of the animal, and yeter is that the animal now is worth more. Maybe it's mu'beret. And obviously there would be no machloket about the cheser. And all we meant was the sheva. I mean, that Rashi wants to avoid because it's mashba that say cheser v'yeter both is the machloket Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. Therefore he explains both cheser and yeter is sheva gizel. Things that the object now produced. Now it's worth more money. So that's what we're talking about over here. Shevach shel gezela kam yifagei, Beit Shammai savrei, shevach of a gezela belongs to the nigzal. Despite the fact that you went ahead and stole it, nonetheless, if during the time of the stealing it becomes worth more, aliba de Beit Shammai, you have to pay the whole thing. And we're going to see this when we have a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about this issue. And Beit Hillel Savrei, well, I mean, since you were mitchayev to pay at the time of the gezela, so now it's yours. In that case, shevach gezela goes to the gazlan. And the truth is that this is a machloket the Haitanani Tanoi, the Tanya. Hagozel et harachel. Let's say you stole a ewe, and then you go ahead and gozes. You went and you took off the fleece, or it had a baby, the yalda. Mishalem otave et gizotea ve'et vladotea. You pay back the ewe with whatever things were produced by the ewe. So says Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Yonomer. No, gizela chazer beinel. Whatever it is, it is. I mean, if it's now without the fleece, it goes back the way it is. Dekanami. And by the way, that must be the machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, because take a look at the words of the Mishnah. It's telling you, Beit Shammai omrim yilakeh becheser v'yeter, uBeit Hillel omrim kishata hotza'ah. Now, what do those words mean? It doesn't say bezol or beyoker. Cheser v'yeter is not the word that you use for changes in market value. It means additional and lesser. Additional and lesser is the way we talk about the object, not the way we talk about money. And so what does Rabbi Akiva hold? Rabbi Akiva and Rekishat HaTviyah. Why in the world would that possibly make any sense? Kishat HaTviyah. Omer Vino Meshmuel, the truth is, Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva, fascinatingly, would be moda in a case where you have a deem, and it's on the basis of those a deem, which may have been a deem of something that happened a month ago. But the tviyah is based on those edim, that then it would go according to that value. Where did he get it from? My time at Yom HaKroah. The Torah says specifically something very strange that could only mean to change the way in which we estimate the payments of something that was oti liyade behet Torah. So over there we have the din of the La'asher hulo yitnenu biyom ashmato. So we're talking about over there a guy who denies owing money and he swears, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I never got anything from you. So in that case, it says biyom ashmato. Now, what is biyom ashmato supposed to be? On the day that he is found guilty, that is the day that la'asher hulo yitnenu. Well, I mean, what, is it relevant today? And he pays the next day. I mean, what? No, so what it's saying is, in other words, that it's defined by value of biyom ashmato. Rashi learns. Value over here doesn't even mean value. So in other words, Rabbi Akiva is sort of not related directly to what Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. It's very confusing. We came out of Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai are talking about Cheser V'Yeter, and Rabbi Akiva just said, oh, by the way, when it comes to value, you pay according to biyom ashmato. That's very weird. Many other Rishonim argue. So obviously, if it's put together with the Mishnah here, it's got to be talking about Chesed Yeter as well. Okay, but according to Rashi, it's talking about, you want to know how much money to pay? Evaluate what it would be worth at the time that he is found guilty. That's the point. But Kiva Deika Eidim. So where does the Ashma come from? If there's witnesses, we trace the Ashma back to the Eidim. I say that Rabbi Akiva would be made. This is what Shmuel is claiming. But even though Rabbi Akiva says it's Xeris HaKosim, you go based according to Yom HaShmato. But then, this is really Yom HaShmato. Omelei Rav Hoshaya and Rav Yehuda. Rebbe, ata omer kain, but ochi omer Rabbi Yosef omer Yochanan, chaluka ya Rabbi Akiva af mokum shiyei sheidim. You say that Shmuel Paskin, that even where the Yom Ashmato was 2 months later, but there were witnesses, and we relied on those witnesses, that we look at the witnesses as the Yom Ashmato. I want you to know that Rabbi Yochanan said beferish that that's not true. And that even b'makom sheyesh edim, the Torah says, la'asher hutlo hu lo yitnenu biyom ashmato. U'beidin ahudur mechayev le'ashma. What does ashma mean? Ashma doesn't mean your sin. It means the finding of the court, that you're guilty. Well, we're not talking about over here the korban of the asham, which has to do with your sense of guilt about what was done. We're talking about on the day that you are found guilty. So how could you say that the witnesses that saw it, that is the day that makes you guilty? Makes you guilty is not the issue. You want to talk about makes you guilty? You can talk about the day you did it. I mean, that's not what we're referring to. So he argues on Shmuel, that I can tell you. So what happened was, I'm going to Reb Zira, Reb Abba Bar Papa. Reb Abba Bar Papa was going to be going to Eretz Yisrael. Normally, you did not pass by Rosh HaNikra in order to go into Eretz Yisrael from Bavel. But he asked him to do him a favor and to swing over all the way to Sulma Detzur. Akif Asulma Detzur, I would like you to stop in by Reb Yaakov Bar Idi, who was a star Talmud by Reb Yochanan, and ask him what Reb Yochanan said, like Abi, the din of Reb Yaki. And Don't ask him particularly. Just listen to him telling you over how Rabbi Akiva passed. So ask him like this: Ishmiel ala Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Akiva and ala Rabbi Akiva, and then see how he expresses it. So he asked him. Omar Lei, and he told him, Halachim Rabbi Yochanan, Halachak Rabbi Akiva leolam. Now Halach is like him always. What do you mean always? My leolam. Ravashi, clearly what he was saying is, in any and all circumstances. In other words, Shalot Tomah Hanimile Yechad Alek Ha'idin. You shouldn't think Halachak Rabbi Akiva that it goes according to Yom HaShmato, as long as there were no witnesses that were there earlier than Yom HaShmato. No! Don't say Hechad Ikeidim Lo. It's even leolam, even in that case. Or, you know what? It could be coming to tell me la'olam, even in a case inami, di'ahadra l'duchta, that he was shaleir bo'yad, he puts it back where it was, and he decides, okay, fine, I'll put it back. Now, we saw before in the Mishnah that we had a machlokas about whether if you're giving it back, it idat ba'alim or not, right? So even in this case, where Rabbi Yishmael, we said the Mishnah, at least we attempted to learn the Mishnah, but three approaches, if you recall, among the Amoraim that all learned that the Mishnah is going Ali bin Rabbi Yishmael. But it's here, what he was saying is lo olam, lafuke bin Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael says lo beinan dat balim, and that would be now a reconstruction of the relationship of Shmira, if you put it back where it was, and then you don't have to worry anymore. So he wanted to say, Alok Rabbi Akiva lo olam, even if you returned it, the returning it doesn't mean anything unless you discussed it with the owner and he said, okay, well now keep it and take good care of it. That's the point. And that's Lafukin Rabbi Yishmael. Don't I lo beinan dat balim? Kamash lo beinan dat balim. V'rav amar? Halacha kebeit Hillel. No, actually we don't paskin like this tremendous chiddush of Rabbi Akiva. We paskin like Beit Hillel completely. And indeed, the Rashi points out of here that a lot of the Achronim talk about why would Rashi, it's generally not Rashi's approach, to paskin a halacha. But Rashi brings over here, indeed that's what we do. We go according to the Batra in this case. Not that we're paskin a little bit of Beit Hillel, we're paskin a little bit of Rav. Which means that in this case, even though Rabbi Akiva here appears in the Mishnah as the one who's giving us this new Kiddush, we don't paskin like that, we go according to Beit Hillel, that it's Kishat HaHotza'ah. Then we had our approach in Rava as to what Kishat HaHotza'ah means. Okay, so once again, we've had now very concentrated many of the issues that we brought out before. The difference between something that's Oti Lora Be'etera and something that's Oti Lora Be'isura. The difference between Shlichut Yad and Gezela. The machloket about whether Shlichut Yad requires Chisaron doesn't require chisaron. The use of something without the reshus of the baal, without any intention to keep it or to damage it, which gets into a whole different issue of your being a shoel. Then the question is whether that makes you a gazel. And then after all of that, the question of, and what makes it returned back to its previous status, which was again a separate machlokas as to whether if you put something back, does it recreate the original relationship, or does it need to go through now the new data baalim who accepts the fact that it was given back, and allows you to keep it even though you were not all that trustworthy first time around. You got a bad record, but nonetheless, he's telling you to be a shomer on it. So all of the sugyas plus a brand new sugya about what Yom HaShvato means, we never saw before. A new sheet of Rabbi Akiva that would apply specifically in this case of returning something to Rosh Shaleir Boyad. All of that in one lovely short amud, basically. It doesn't matter. Here we're talking about Shlichut Yad. Shlichut Yad is true of any Shomer. Sure. All of the Shomerim have to swear. You steal it from him. That's a great favor. You used it for yourself. That's the problem.
If you can assume that the Baal would be Moko.
So that we spoke about earlier. Yeah. Then that gives you a din of a shoel.
Right.
Not a gazlan. Yes. But you're still chayav an ansin as long as you're using it. That was the other case. That was the case of the ro'eh who puts the stuff on it. Now he's using it. Right? That was the first approach that we tried to use over there. He becomes a shoel. Okay, but that is chayav an ansin. So long as he's a shoel, he's chayav an ansin. Okay.
He could put it back then.
At the moment he stops using it, so then he's not a shoel anymore. Right. Yeah, it's fascinating the different assumptions that we're able to make. Hamafkid ma'at etz shulchani im surin lo yishtamesh ben lefichah yimavdu ino chayav b'achrayuta. But if the ma'at mutarim yis yishtamesh ben lefichah yimavdu chayav b'achrayuta. If, however, you give money to a balabai, then ben surin ben mutarim lo yishtamesh ben lefichah yimavdu ino chayav b'achrayuta. Now, what about a chenveni? Well, chenveni kabalabai de v'Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yirah Omer chenveni kishol chenveni. I don't get it. Just because Tzurin lo yishtamesh be'am Amar Vasi Amar Avira means it's in a sealed envelope. But Tzurin v'chatumim shana. Ramori Amar, it's talking about even Tzurin, but b'kesher mishuneh. Or some say actually, boy, Rav Mori, is a kesher mishuneh the equivalent of a sealed envelope or not? Take. Mutarim yishtamesh be'am Amar Ravuna afilu ne'ensu. Wow, but it doesn't say that. It says avdu katani. Yeah, but avdu means kidarabah. Yomarava nignavu means belistim izuyan. Avdu could mean tavasvina tobayam, which is we're not talking about a shomer socher issue. Rav Nachman Amar nensu. No. He's only a shomer socher. Amalei ravel Rav Nachman. So what are you saying? So in other words, you're saying that he's not a shoal. So if he's not a shoal, how the heck did he get to be a shomer socher? He didn't use the money. Amalei, no, because ba'amadina lacha. Because he could use the money, and could use the money itself as ana'a. What is the ana'a? Zavan behu. So because of that, okay, he's makabel already the din of shmir of shemesacher. This is the gabbai the din of meila lefichach imahotzi. Loma ala gizbar, because I just gave it to a shomer. Imutarim ishtamesh b'am lefichach imahotzi ma'ala gizbar. Now, excuse me, sir, but according to you, you're saying he immediately becomes a borrower, so then it is shinui rishus into the shomer. I'm going to fill then to my erahotzi, I feel low itzi nami. Omala you, I didn't have a gavda low itzi. I did tana reisha otzi, tana seifa nami otzi. Hasholeach yad bepikadon, right? Shammai amrim yilakev echeser v'yeter. Ubeit Yilel amrim kishaat hotzaah. Rabbi Akiva amr kishaat hatviyah. Omar Rova Haiman de gozo chavita de chamer mechavrei mikor shavizuz ashav yarba'ah. So if he stabro shat, he definitely misham arba'ah. But if it just broke on its own and now he can't return it, he'd bar memela mishalem zuzah. My time had given the yita hadr lamora ba'ena. And now he goes ahead and he breaks it. So Aishat the Kashatila the Katavale. That's a new act of Gizela. Vitankala Gazalim Mishalim Kishaata Gizela. However, for Zitmar Mamela, he's only Mishalim the original volume of Zuzumaitaima, because Ashtovalo Mide is no new act. So Amaika Mikhayaftale on the original act. Aishat the Gizela, but Aishat was only worth a Zuzu the Shavya. Tzom betilel amrim kishat hotza'ah. Now explain that, Rava. My kishat hotza'ah. I mean, ilam kishat hotza'ah min olam. And what? The cases that it went down in value? Mi'ikal amad the armor, that if it goes down in value, you pay less? Vatznan kol ha'gazlanim mishamim kishat ha'gizilah, at least? And if we're talking about it went up in value, well, that's exactly what Beit Shammai said anyway. He said, better yilaka b'chesur b'yetah. Ela pshita kishaat hotza'ah mi beit balim. So then lema rava the yama kebet shamai. Amalecha rava, no. Biyeta kuli amalopli. The question over here is becheser. The beit shamai savre shlichut yad einat zricha chisara. Therefore, if it goes down now bechichasar brushut didei chasar. But Beit Hillel indeed holds you pay the lesser amount, because he says you didn't do anything in this case. Shlichut yad zrichach chisaron. So now that would mean that if it goes down in value, it's still in the rishus of the Yodayin. In which case, why do you have to pay for it? So Elohadi Amar Rava, in fact, Rava himself said, Shlichut yad ainet zrichach chisaron. You're saying now that Rava was going around paskri by Chamai. Elohim amayas kinan kigon shetil talal avia gozalot. There was no shlichut yad. And we're talking about a shor shel midat. And Beit Shammai Savre shor shel midat is a din of a gazlan, in which case it's now in his rishos, and he has to take the responsibility for the chesed. Beit Hillel Savre shor shel midat shoel aviv chesed b'shut ha'gemar yechesed. Problem is that Rava himself said that a shor shel midat, in the case of the kid with the oil container, and according to Rabbanan, he has a din of a gazlan, which is why now, if it breaks on the way home, the chenven is going to be responsible. And now, as you're saying, that's only true of Libra Beit Shammai. Let's redo the Mishnah. I'm not talking about different values in the market. I'm talking about a change. So Beit Shammai Savri Shevach Gezela de Nigzal Havi. Ubeit Hillel Savri Shevach Gezela de Gazlan Havi. But look at Anitanoi. The Tanya Gozela de Rachel. Gazazavi Aldam Shalem Otavet Gizotavet Vladotea de Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yudomer Gizela Choseret Beine Dekanami Diktani Bechamer Miluk Becheser Vietra Be Yukra Mazula Betal Amrik Shato at Sashmamina that indeed we're not talking about fluctuations in value. Rabbi Akiva Omer Kisha Ata Tevia. Omer Rabbi Yonah Meshmuel Halachak Rabbi Akiva, but you should know Mother Rabbi Akiva. B'makom Sheyesh Edi. In my time, the Omer Krala Asher Olo Yitzino B'yom Ashmato. That's the whole point. But given he ke Edim, so Miyahi Shata Hu De Achayev Le Ashma. Omer Le Roshayel Rabbi Yonah Rabbi Ata Omer Kain. But I want you to know Rochem Rabbi Yossi. On Rabbi Yochanan, and then in fact, Chalukaya Rabbi Akiva, Afil Bamakam Sheyesh Edim, my time, the Amakral Asher Lo Yidonu Biyom Ashmato. Ashmato means that the court found you guilty. So it's the Beit Din, Ahud B'chayev Le'ashma. Omele Rabbi Zeil or Baba Bar Papa, look, you're going up in that, toward that direction anyway. So, Kiazat Alahatam, you know, you're going to New York, stop at the Buffalo for me, you know. So, Akif Asum Adatsur. And all the Gabi the Riyakabar Idi Ubomine Shmiel, Rabbi Yochanan, Lok Rabbi Akiva, and Alok Rabbi Akiva. Omele Yach Yom Rabbi Yochanan, Alok Rabbi Akiva, Lo Olam, Zemai Lo Olam. Omele Vashish, Lo Tomar, Anim Elech Leke Eidim, Avlech Edik Eidim Lo. Inami the Adri Leduch to Viatra, Lafikim Rabbi Shmuel, the Omele Lo Binan Dat Baalim, Kamashron, the Binan Dat Baalim. Rabbi says this is all moot because Alok Gabi Tilel, anyway.